The Fan on Demand.
We're back. You ready? Tim and Sid. Hour number two. Swag.
As the band said, Tim and Sid, I'm Tim McAuliffe. He is Sid Sixero. Still to come, friend of the show, JP Aaron Sebia. We talked to him on the winter tour. We talked to him after the Super Bowl. Now it's down to work for the Blue Jays catcher. He will join us very soon. We'll get to the Ryan Braun debacle as well. Puck Daddy will join us, as will Sam Cosentino. And backed by popular demand, but somewhat altered, our countdown to kickoff, Sixero, has morphed. Call it the countdown to tip-off.
Creative.
NBA All-Star Game styles. That will come your way sometime when we don't have a guest.
But we do have a guest now, and we're going to bring him on from your Toronto Maple Leafs. Tim Connolly joining us. Welcome to Tim and Sid. Tim, how you doing? We will reestablish contact with Tim Connolly in mere moment. Hi,
hey,
Tim. How you doing?
Welcome
to Tim and Sid.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yeah,
we got you now. You can hear us?
Yeah, I'm good.
Beautiful, beautiful. Tim, obviously last 2-3 weeks, things haven't gone the team's way. So let's start it this way. The good news is at least we woke up this morning and there wasn't 15 centimeters of snow on the ground, right? At least that's the positive of today.
Yeah.
I mean, what's with Environment Canada? I've had an ongoing... Tim, I swear to you, I had an ongoing fight with Environment Canada. They are weak. Everything's wrong. They're late. And they're...
I've never had a winter like this. I mean, I'm used to those Buffalo winters and Syracuse winters where I grew up. So this is nice for a change, not having any snow out here.
Those Buffalo winters are...
Yeah, I can't even begin to imagine that.
That's what they call a snow belt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It seems like your line was buzzing last night. Was it a tad frustrating to come away with nothing?
A little bit. I thought we improved a little bit on our chemistry. The line got some zone time and created a few chances, but we just couldn't find the back of the net. But I think it was a step in the right direction for us as a line.
On the line with Tim Connolly of the Toronto Maple Leafs here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Tim, obviously... the guys behind you, the goalies, James and Jonas, they've had a rough 3-4 days, and especially in the media, they've kind of been kicked around a bit. What do you say to them during a period like that? And did you think some of that criticism was warranted? Was it fair?
To be honest with you, I don't follow the papers or the media too closely, so I haven't really heard any of that criticism. But I think just as a team, we just got to do a better job in front of them playing defensively. I mean, a lot of the chances we've given up have been point blank in the slot. You give up those chances nowadays, guys are going to find the back of the net. So for us, I think we just got to really focus on all the little details in the defensive end and work on our game from there on out.
In the end, those guys are your dudes. Those guys are your teammates, the guys in net and Gustafson and Reimer. And everyone kind of knows that they want to play better. Everyone knows that you want to get wins. Is it like a pitcher during, you know, when he's going through a no-hitter? Do you not talk to goaltenders in those situations? Are you a guy that will walk around the room and kind of, you know, try and chipper guys up? Or do you go and talk to them and say, you know, like, we need to help you a little more and try and give them that kind of support?
Well, it's always good to stay positive. I think positive reinforcement is always a good thing for all your teammates. As far as goalies go, I kind of like to not bother them too much. I know they have their strict routines that they like to follow, and
usually they're different cats too.
Do their own thing, you know.
Yeah.
On the line with Tim Connolly of the Toronto Maple Leafs here on Tim and Sid Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Tim, in terms of the trade deadline, I mean, you're not new to this, and some guys feel safer than others at this time of year, but it's a pretty young group around you, and there's some guys who are going through this trade deadline thing for the first time. Have you talked to some of them about how to handle it, how to handle the stress, how to handle some of the uncertainty?
Well, there's nothing you can do about it, really, as a player. I think that's the main thing that guys got to understand is it's out of your hands. All you can focus on is what you can do to help the team win games. So, I mean, obviously, if haven't gone through it, or, you know, you're a player that thinks that you might be getting traded, then, you know, maybe that can be nervous or a nervous time for you, but there's really nothing you can do about it. So it's out of your control. You just got to go out and take care of what you can control.
Tim and Sid in conversation with Tim Connolly, center for your Toronto Maple Leafs on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. From the outside looking in, Tim, losing 7 of 8 seems to be made worse by the fact that the trade deadline is a couple of days away. What's the mood in the room right now?
Well, despite the past 7 or 8 games, we're still right there within grasp of a playoff spot and really control our own destiny. So, I mean, it really comes down to the way we finish down the stretch here. And for us, just focus on what we can do. And that's going out and trying to win hockey games. And you can't really worry about, like I said, the other things that are out of your control, such as the trade deadline and how other teams are playing around you. And down the stretch, it seems like everybody's going to start winning. So it's like that every year, and we're just going to have to make a push ourselves.
On the line with Tim Connolly of the Maple Leafs here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Tim, like we mentioned, the last 2-3 weeks, things team-wise haven't gone your way, and the talk hasn't always been positive. However, in your opinion, and with all present company excluded, who's the guy on the ice who you think has had a good last 2 or 3 weeks, who hasn't gotten a lot of talk, who's kind of been lost in the discussion regarding losing 7 of 8 and whatnot? Who do you think's really kind of shown up the last few weeks?
Well, I think the penalty killing has done a good job. I think if we can get the power play back clicking how it has been throughout the the first up until the last little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, win hockey games on your special teams alone. So now that we've got the penalty kill going, we just got to get our power play back on track here and be firing on all cylinders. But I like the way Jake Gardner's been playing lately. I think he's stepped up and done a great job as a young player.
On the line with Tim Connolly of the Maple Leafs. Tim, we've been talking a lot about what happened last night between the Kings and the Blue Jackets, Jack Johnson and a first going to Columbus for Jeff Carter. When you first heard of that deal, what did you make of it?
I don't know. I didn't really think too much. I mean, you hear trade rumors, but I guess that was one of the rumors that was out there and ended up happening. I'm sure it'll be beneficial for both teams in the long run.
You know, you mentioned Jake Gardner there, and that's a guy who's kind of gone through an interesting season, and you see flashes in guys like that. How hard is it for a defenseman to take that step to become, you know, a guy that can play 25 minutes, and especially like Jake Gardner, who's, you know, still relatively young and still relatively unexperienced? Inexperienced in English.
Yeah, it's for him, I mean, he's a real young player, and come in and play as much as he's playing and playing the way he is pretty tremendous. I mean, you got to be, as a defenseman, really, you know, consciously strong player defensively. I mean, first and foremost, you got to be able to play in your own end. And then, he has all those other attributes, skating and passing and shooting and getting up in the play as well.
On the line with Tim Connolly from the Leafs. Tim, final question before we let you go. Obviously, tomorrow night, massive when you take a look at that Eastern Conference playoff picture with the Caps rolling in Saturday night. They have had a lot go wrong with that team the last few weeks. Some infighting. Dale Hunter, it just seems like he's kind of lost control of the room. I'm not going to ask you too much about that, but they seem like a wounded animal. What type of Caps team do you expect to see tomorrow night at the ACC?
Well, I think a lot of teams come into Toronto and it's a big thing for them, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, and everybody wants to perform and play their best. And I think it'll be an exciting game. If we can continue to play the way we did in the third period against San Jose and come right out with that jump and that explosiveness and use our speed to our advantage, then I think it'll be a pretty fun game to watch.
Well, I know that Leaf Nation, though a tad bit nervous right now, will be watching awfully close.
Well, it's all right to be nervous. You know, it's good to stay on the edge of your seat, and it's good to have a little nerves in you, and you know, keeps you ready to go.
And you kind of understand why Leaf Nation is a little bit nervous, having not had the playoffs and since 2004. You understand the fans being on the edge of their seat, and it kind of does it motivate you at all to know that they are following so closely?
Well, it's such a big hockey city. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than this, and I think it would mean a lot to the city and Leafs Nation and everybody in the dressing room and associated with the team to make the playoffs here, and that's our goal. And then from there, anything can happen. So it's one game at a time, and we're just going to have to make a push as hard as we can here down the stretch.
Well, Tim, we appreciate the time today. We'll be watching
Definitely.
Tomorrow night, and all the best to you and the boys down the stretch. Thanks for joining us today.
All right, thanks, Tim. Sid.
There is Tim Connolly of the Maple Leafs discussing what is another, dare I say, the biggest game of Toronto season tomorrow night against the Washington Capitals. And not long after that, Panthers are on the schedule, and now the Panthers are in play. I guess they always kind of were in the Southeast, but the Panthers are now in play.
Anyone in the Southeast is
yeah.
in play.
Yeah.
Definitely. Is basically how it breaks down. And, you know, you look at the standings right now, and as I leaf through my sheets, you're not lying, Sid. Like, we kind of said it tongue-in-cheek, biggest game of the season.
Seriously.
That Washington game, that's 9-10 right now in the Eastern Conference, 2 points behind with a game in hand. And remember, Florida, who occupies that eighth spot, has 2 games in hand on the Leafs, and they have 4 games in hand on Winnipeg. So it'll be interesting, and you could kind of sense in Connolly a little bit too that he sensed the nervousness heading into this weekend game.
But that last thing he said, and you brought it out of him, and it was really good. Nerves are good,
yeah.
You know, if you don't have those butterflies, if you don't have that anxious feeling, you know, maybe there's something wrong. You don't want to get too comfortable. This is the National Hockey League; nothing's handed to you. And you're right. You know, not having a playoff appearance and so forth will do that to a fan base, but I thought the comment from Tim was very interesting. You know, nerves sometimes aren't a negative. They're not to be feared. They get you going sometimes. The other thing we talked about, and I want to really stress this point, I'm really disappointed in Environment Canada and how they're approaching their forecasts. Let me tell you something right now. Scott Housen has had better decision-making skills in the last 18 months than Environment Canada has. They've had more misses than hits.
So you just wanted to see snow so that they would be...
How the hell...
Well, when I
How the hell do you forecast 15 centimeters of snow and in the same breath tell me it's going to be +2? I got a 55 in grade 10 science, but I could tell you it needs to be a little colder for there to be snow than +2.
I told you when I left the house, there was big, huge snowflakes in the Scarborough, North York area.
It's not about you.
All right, fine. There was snow. There was an accumulation.
Tim calls me up. Tim's driving in. He goes, listen, I just read your tweet. You're way off. Like, things are really happening up here. It's snowing.
It was just in my neighborhood.
It was like, you're just in your hood, specifically in your
Literally
hood.
Literally in my neighborhood.
Excuse Incredible. Me. I woke up this morning, thought I was in a rainforest. It's going to be +10 tomorrow with a chance of 20 centimeters of snow. Something might happen. Something might not. More after this. Get with it. Am I the only one who's bothered by this? I guess I am.
Yes, you are.
Now, more Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I'm in my big truck, gonna open up the doors and turn it up. Gonna stomp my boots in the Georgia mud. Gonna watch you make me fall in love. Get up on the hood of my daddy's tractor. Up on the toolbox, it don't matter. Down on the tailgate, girl, I can't wait to watch you do your thing. Shake it for the young bucks sitting in the honky tonks. For the rednecks rocking till the break of dawn. The DJ spinning that country song. Come on, come on, come on. Shake it for the birds, shake it for the
Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Tim and Sid on a Friday, hour two. Hope you're having a good day. One quick hockey note that just came across. A lot of speculation now turning to Dustin Brown and the Kings organization after the Jack Johnson trade last night. Apparently, and this is coming from a lot of people,
including Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada.
Fried. Dustin Brown, not on the market.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's not a trade tracker thing. I don't know what it is. Trade tracker. Coors Light. It's growing on me.
Also interesting to hear from Ryan Braun in the update.
Oh, yeah. That's a tip of the iceberg of where he went with it. It was a very emotional Ryan Braun today. If you haven't heard, yesterday he was cleared. There were reports he tested positive, high testosterone levels. Case has been thrown out. He's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be on his record.
Did you listen to your brother?
That's not my brother.
Wasn't your brother?
No. Do you listen to my brother? It wasn't my brother.
So you don't listen to either of the
I don't listen to either of them, for the record.
Sorry, Roman. My apologies.
You and I both listen to our next guest intently. Jace catcher JP Arencibia joining Tim and Sid from Florida. JP, welcome back to the show.
Buenos dias.
Wet snow and rain falling here as we speak. How's the weather?
That's weird. I'm sitting on the sun deck of my townhouse at the beach with my dog Yogi. He's chasing golf balls, and I'm looking at the ocean right now.
Damn you, Arencibia.
I basically have the same view.
Damn you.
I basically have the same view.
Hey, we saw a picture on Twitter of your young puppy, Yogi, with his nose buried in and around Brendan Morrow's dog. What's the deal there?
I think I could speak for Yogi here. When I don't think he's dating exclusively. I think he's still on the market. They had a date, and I think it went a little, I would say
went well.
Too quick. Yeah, well, it went just a little too quick. I think they got past the hello stage, and then it was on from then.
All right. We just got to make sure that Brendan Morrow's dog doesn't have a tattoo on its lower back. All right?
Hey, I mean, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad.
On the line with JP Arencibia, catcher for your Toronto Blue Jays. The season opens up for you guys, JP. You're now 35 days away from April the 5th when your season gets underway. How has camp been in these early stages? Obviously, you're enjoying some R&R, but how is camp looking in your eyes?
It's been great. A lot of guys got in early. We've had pretty much everyone there already. There's a good feeling. There's a good energy around the clubhouse, and it's been fun. You know, the pitchers have been getting going. Guys look good. A lot of guys came into camp in shape, or in real good shape, and looking forward to getting these spring games started so we can kind of get back into the swing of game speed.
Is that what it is right now? It's, you know, you guys have kind of, we talked to you on your winter tour. We talked to you after the Super Bowl. Is it time to go to work now? Is that what the feeling is around the clubhouse?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like anything, you know, we've done baseball our whole careers and our whole life pretty much. So whenever, you know, it's good to have a break, but you know, as a competitor, I start itching and I'm ready to go. You know, this is all fun. And you know, the bullpens and the work, the drills that we do are all cool, but when it comes down to it, you know, we want to compete and we want to get it going again.
On the line with JP Arencibia of the Toronto Blue Jays, as he's enjoying a picturesque moment down in Florida that sounds like a painting, really, as we sit here looking at wet snow come down to southern Ontario. JP, who in camp has impressed you the most with the kind of shape they've showed up in?
Well, obviously, I think Brett Cecil stands out a ton. He looks like a new man. It's kind of funny. You look at him and you're like, holy crap, are you really Brett Cecil? he's trimmed up a lot, and Villanueva has also trimmed up a ton, looking good. But I think everyone, for the most part, is in shape. I think Dustin McGowan, I caught his bullpen the other day. He looks really, really good, throwing the ball really well. So I think a lot of guys are in shape. You know, there's competition, and anytime there's competition, I think it brings the best out of guys.
Tim and Sid in conversation with the Toronto Blue Jays, JP Arencibia. You know, last year, you're talking about the pitchers and catching the pitchers. Last year, you're kind of your first season as the starter, the guy behind the plate, and you had to kind of learn, make sure you knew every one of the starters that, you know, was going to be your battery mate. Is it a different camp for you this time around?
Oh, yeah, it's huge. It's just, you know, that comfort of knowing what to expect. You know, last year, coaches and players can talk to me until they were blue in the face of what to expect and watch film and do this and do that. But until you play and get that full season under your belt, you don't know what to expect. So it's just a lot more of a relaxing, but, you know, knowing how to work, knowing what to prepare for, knowing that, you know, I need to be ready for April 5th and not March 15th. You know, what happens in spring training makes no difference. It's just about getting better so that once April 5th comes around, the whole team and I am, and, you know, hitting on all cylinders.
Do you think that'll help you offensively?
Yeah, I think more than anything is just knowing the league and, you know, spacing guys. It's kind of tough to say, hey, you know, this guy on paper throws a fastball, a slider, a curveball, changeup, and watch him on film and see all that stuff. But until you stand in the box, you know, everyone's got a different look. So it's, you know, definitely getting that experience of being able to see guys and know how they attack me and know what their pitches do. It's obviously an advantage for a hitter.
On the line with J.P. Aaron Sibbia, catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. J.P., you mentioned a year ago, you know, a learning process in terms of the starting staff and finding yourself behind the plate. You're more experienced, but specifically looking at the bullpen, a lot of new faces there too. So in a lot of respects, the learning curve continues for you. How long before there's a comfort level with Santos and Cordero and the other guys that were brought in?
I think with Sergio, it helps that I had known him from before when he was a position player in our organization, just knowing him as a person. You know, as soon as we signed the guys, I had video sent to me, and I watched video and watched how they attack hitters so that when I'm behind the plate, I kind of know what they want to do. And you ask them questions, you know, where do you want me to set up on this pitch, or how do you want to attack a guy later in the count or behind the count? Like, you just ask questions, and you know, I catch them in the bullpen. I try to, every time they come down to the bullpen, you know, I seek them out and try to catch them so that I'm as familiar as possible with them. So once, like I said, April 5th rolls around, we're ready to go.
Tim and Sid talking to J.P. Aaron Sibbia. You know, I heard Sergio Santos, when he was traded to the Jays, he went on with Bob McCowan on Primetime Sports, and I immediately became a fan. It seems like a real good dude, and you said you played with him as a position player. He made the transition with this, you know, real big arm and is trying to develop into a pitcher and doing a pretty good job. But to me, immediately, it just seemed like this is a good dude.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, I would say that he's an eligible candidate for Tim and Sid, because you guys obviously are pro, and you can only have pro people on the station. So I think that he would be an eligible candidate. He's a great guy, you know, has a good attitude. And I think, you know, that's just, obviously he's got great stuff, but that's to our front office. You know, they brought in guys that are first-class guys in our clubhouse. And, you know, you walk around our clubhouse and everyone always says, you know, how pleasant it is to be in there. There's a lot of camaraderie and a lot of good guys. So I think, you know, obviously he's a great arm and a good asset to have, especially for us closing out games, but he is definitely a great person.
We'll get to the chemistry of the club and how that impacts wins and losses. But first, official J.P. Aaron Sibbia co-sign for Sergio Santos?
Yeah. Sure. You guys could chalk it up for the good boys.
All right. Well, as they say, J.P., we do put the pro in inappropriate.
Yes.
So we'll be happy to have him on the line with J.P. here in CB. J.P., of the starting staff, of the starting guys, who is in business mode already? Who came in as serious as a heart attack from the first workout? Who means business?
I mean, I think everyone means business. That's kind of tough to say who, you know, no one's really out there joking around, but I would say the guys who mean, you know, the business obviously are the guys competing for a spot. You know, it doesn't take away anything from Ricky or Henderson or you know, Mauro. I think, you know, those guys, they're going about the work the way they've always done it. But I just think, you know, the guys that come in competing are really trying to be as sharp as they can for spring training because they're competing for a job, as opposed to, you know, if you're a Ricky or Brandon, those kind of guys, you can go out there and you're not taking it easy because those guys both bust their butts as hard as anybody else. But you're also, you know, let's say if you want to work on a changeup, you know, you might get hit around in a spring training game or, you know, something you want to work on. That's the time to work on it because it doesn't really mean anything. And then, you know, ultimately it can get you better for down the road. So But I think those guys are the ones that have the game face the most.
How do you treat guys who are in a position battle? And there aren't many on this squad in a position battle heading into this camp, but you kind of know they're both guys, they're both teammates, and they're both battling for a spot. How do you treat it in the clubhouse?
The same. You know, I think it's if anyone takes competition in the wrong way or you know, their attitude's different, it's just insecurity. And that's the biggest thing is you tell people, you know, be secure with yourself. You know, I know for myself, you know, I'd be secure if I was in competition or not. I know what I can bring to the table. You know, you got to walk around kind of with that swag. Guys are good for a reason, and the guys that are the great ones know that they're good. You know, Jose has a swag about him that, you know, that's hard to explain. So there's, I think that when you're an athlete and you trust in your abilities, you're secure. And so, you know, even if you do fail in the competition, wherever you go, I think the mindset is, all right, I'm going to dominate wherever I'm at. And then it's always going to end up on the right way. So I think, you know, that's the way they need to think about it.
In conversation with J.P. Arencibia, catcher for your Toronto Blue Jays, here on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. J.P., what's the best part about spring training, and what's the worst part about spring training?
The worst part, I would say, is definitely just being up at 6 in the morning every day.
That sucks. I can't do that.
Yeah, I'd rather get kicked in the shin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and I think that's the worst part. The best part for me is you know, being able to be back with the team and you know, just being able to go out there and play and wake up and do the thing that you love every day. And then come back and hang out with my home dog, Yogi, and hang out on the beach isn't too shabby either.
All right, before we let you go, most important question. Have you chosen your walk-in music for this season?
No, I haven't really. If it was up to my nieces and nephews, I would be walking out to LMFAO, Sexy and You Know It. I'm gonna go against their better judgment and still find something. But you know, it's always something classic. We'll see. I don't like to get too crazy. I don't like music that pumps me up when I go to hit, because then, you know, I don't want to be swinging at everything. I already am an aggressive hitter. If I get too jacked up, you might see me swing when the guy's just stepping off the mound. So
just to confirm, you don't have a track yet, correct?
No, I do not. I do not have a track. I have some in mind, but I do not have a track yet.
If we ask some of the Tim and citizens at Tim and Sid on Twitter for their suggestions, and we'll siphon through them, can we fire you off a couple
next time you're on?
Yeah. I'm open to suggestions.
Okay.
I'm always open to suggestions. Okay. I just make sure it's something on. I have to have a little guitar riff and some drums, and I'm in.
Electric guitar riff. That is important. So you want some guitar
and drums. Those are the parameters within.
Yeah, well, I came out to Rush, you know, Working Man. That's a, you know, something of nature and country. I like country too, but it's got to be upbeat. I don't want to fall asleep either when I'm going to the.
Well, fair enough.
All right. Maybe we'll throw something at you next time you're on with us.
There you go. It's important to know. JP, enjoy the rest of your picturesque day, and have a good spring training, man. Hopefully we'll catch up soon, and we'll fire a song your way.
And don't let Yogi get too far out of your reach, eh?
No, I got him. He listens. He's well trained. Right. Always fun having you. And I'll let Sergio know that I gave him. He has the okay to go on your show. But to not take it with a grain of salt, that's a pretty big thing.
Okay,
all right.
No, we very much appreciate it.
Definitely the cosign.
Thanks, JP. Right. Have a good day, man.
Have a good one.
There's JP Arencibia, not only kicking it with us, as the kids say, but looking at future Tim and Sid prospects. JP always looking out.
That's an official cosign for Sergio Santos.
That's huge.
But he was on, honestly, he was on with McCowan, and he was on with Brunt on Primetime Sports. And just listening to the guy talk, I became more confident in the player that they picked up. Do you ever get that feeling sometimes?
Yeah.
When you just hear a guy talk, you think, wow, this guy knows what he's getting into, knows where he is in life, and knows what he's attempting to do.
That's like when I first met DJ Lance Kennedy. I went, nice guy. he one day might ruin the country, though. Like, you just get a feeling from people.
Yeah.
You get a feeling. Yeah, I didn't hear you disagree with anything I said.
No, not exactly.
Speaking of our boys, Tim.
Yes.
Sam Constantino. Huge.
Sportsnet.
Huge Friday night hockey game tonight on Sportsnet. Between Kootenay and Saskatoon, there's a Leafs hook to this.
Yeah, prospect.
Definitely. We'll talk to Sammy about that. We might touch on a couple other things as well.
See what he's doing in Saskatoon.
What can't you do in Saskatoon?
You know what I'm talking about.
Hey-oh.
Bam. That's next on Tim and Sid.
Regina. Bam.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, more Tim and Sid on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sorry, I turned my mic on there.
That's okay. I got excited.
I know. We're all an exciting show.
This is my joint. I feel like growing out a mullet again.
Paparazzi, Palazzo, both of them.
This is like, oh, the Cosby Show's done on NBC? Let's go out to the club.
I figure the freestyle beats can only mean one of two things. A, Tony Monaco's on the line. Or B, Sam Cosentino is on the line.
I'll take B.
B?
I'll take B.
Sammy Cos?
B it is. And you know what? I used to hear those beats after actually watching Miami Vice first.
Oh, yeah, nice. Nice. That was Friday night, right? Back in the day, Miami Vice?
That was tremendous.
Sam Cosentino, Friday.
I hope that's a party can keep that bumper for me. I love it.
All right, that's your entrance part. Music. That's you choose your entrance music here, Sam Cosentino.
Nice.
We're all about taking requests here on Tim and Sid on the line with Sammy Cos, Sam Cosentino.
Do you remember back in the day, Sammy Cos, and maybe I'm only talking to a segment of the population right now, but do you remember walking out, and I believe you went to Philip Polcock High School in Mississauga, is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you remember walking out of Philip Polcock at one time or another and having sheets taped around poles advertising dances by the GQ sound crew and folks like that playing that very music?
Yes, and I was attracted to it by the multitude of IROC Zs that most of my Italian brethren had their parents pay for. Well, they did. And this is a true story. One guy, and I won't name him here, but one night we were coming back from Burlington, and I think he was 250 clicks on the highway in his IROC.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, a little bit scary. That was the first and last ride I took with him.
Those fuzzy dice must have been popping all over the place.
Yeah, I was using them as pillows.
On the line with Sam Cosentino. See, Cos, when I used to walk out of St. Francis Xavier Secondary on Bristol and Highway 10 in Mississauga, it wasn't the pamphlets that caught me. It was the two-for-one pizza. Oh, that would always lure me
here
in.
We go with the two-for-one.
Hey, when you have no money, it's fantastic. Absolutely
you're,
fantastic.
You're still that. You're that guy that goes to two-for-one pizza and feels like you still got ripped off.
I mean, that's
three for one.
That's a topic for another day, Sam. We don't need to get into that here. I'm not saying you're going down the wrong street, but we'll talk about that later. Trade deadline. Let's talk trade deadline. We're all hockey fans here. We're entering hallowed time of year. I was thinking today, Sam, Family Day was last Monday. Why doesn't the NHL do this?
Trade guys on Family Day.
On a holiday Monday.
Trade guys on Family Day.
Let's think of the numbers, though. People are at home.
Hi, Dad. Thanks for staying home. By the way, we're going to L.A.
I just think from a TV standpoint, if trade deadline were a holiday in Canada, the ratings on top of what they already are. Just think of the possibilities.
Yeah, and I think we're working towards that end, guys. It's, I'm kind of on the fringes, although I'll be involved here in our trade deadline coverage. Because I'm always out in a boat and rarely in the office paying attention to this kind of stuff, I'll be involved. But the multitude of emails and the sets and the number of people that are coming on board for this thing, I think we're moving to that end, and it might become a national holiday.
You're in Saskatoon right now, Sammy?
I'm in Toontown.
Nice. Kootenay and Saskatoon is our Friday game of the night. But the trade deadline doesn't just affect the guys in the show. There are a couple guys I noticed specifically on Saskatoon who could be moved at deadline day.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the thing. I think people forget about it, but oftentimes, you know, guys are either in the American Hockey League or drafted guys, whether they've been signed, have that opportunity to get moved. And that's, you know, everyone looks at just the NHL guys and what happens there. But, you know, Patrick King on Sportsnet.ca and myself will have some stuff that will pertain to those prospects. Moving Patrick did a really great job on, you know, listing the top prospects in each organization. I'm going to come out here with a top 30 or 35 of what I expect to be guys that would go in the first round of the draft. That way, when a first round pick gets traded, we can kind of analyze it in such a manner that, hey, here's, you know, here you can expect this guy to go in the 15 to 20 range. Here's what he brings to the table, that sort of thing. But, you know, getting back to the point, Saskatoon, yeah, I mean, there are guys on both of these teams in Kootenay that have already been drafted, and you know, you don't think about it in terms of the National Hockey League trade deadline, but when you play Major Junior, you're thinking about what happens on January 10th and the WHL, OHL, and QMJHL trade deadlines. But that possibility still exists here right up until Monday, and it can be bone rattling a little bit, but that's, you know, that's part and parcel of the business.
On the line with Sam Cosentino, Friday Night Hockey this evening on Sportsnet, Kootenay, Saskatoon. But Sam, the point you bring up, though, is very valid. I mean, if you're a pro organization and your team's name is being thrown around, it affects a lot of people outside of that major league roster. And they're probably young players, young kids. Actually, there might be one or two in your game tonight who are wondering kind of, you know, where things could play out and what could happen. And it's an all-encompassing thing, this trade deadline. I think it's an excellent point.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I even look at Kootenay and a guy like Nathan Lewin, who was the WHL MVP in the playoffs last year, gets drafted a year later because he suffered some injuries and whatever else, goes to Buffalo in the sixth round, and he's having another awesome year. Now, what's Buffalo plan to do with their goaltending? I mean, if Ryan Miller is a guy they move, does all of a sudden Nathan Lewin kind of move up their pecking order, and before you know it, a year or two, he's in the show? Or do they keep him around, feel like they have a good asset in Nathan Lewin and the guy that, you know, that maybe they could move to improve someone else's goaltending on the way up? I mean, you got a guy like Josh Nichols, who's unsigned yet by the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's, you know, battled back from injury and struggled kind of to find his game once again from an 87-point season last year. But maybe he's a guy that someone else has interest in, looks at the Maple Leafs and says, hey, you know, this guy hasn't signed yet. Let's try and get him into organization. Maybe we can sign him. But that tends to happen with guys that are higher picks, with Nichols being a seventh rounder. He's probably on the fringe of that type of conversation. But a guy like Nathan Lewin, who, you know, who's a little older, a little more mature, is coming off a good season, having another good season, who knows, maybe he's in the mix there somewhere.
Let's focus on the Buds prospect, Josh Nichols, because he's intriguing, Sam. He can skate. He's a big guy who will lace him up for the Saskatoon Blades in this game tonight. And he's a guy who last year was surrounded by talent. And this year, when he had the chance to do it on his own, maybe with some young guys, was putting up numbers until he got banged up.
Yeah, that's right. He was off to an awesome start. And then right around Christmas time, MCL injury, that kept him out of the lineup for about 2 months, and he's had some issues coming back from that. Now, in terms of Saskatoon and what he provides to their hockey club, they need him to be a top-end guy. They need him to be a leader. They need him to be the guy who put up that 87-point season last year. And this is going to be a huge stretch for him, not only for the Blades and their success moving forward, but the Toronto Maple Leafs keeping an eye on him. I think here's a perfect situation. Saskatoon's lost 5 of 6. They're about to go on the road because of the Brier for 17 straight days. The going's going to get really tough here. And I think they want to see how Nichols reacts to what he's going to be presented with here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. If he can help Saskatoon solidify its playoff berth, if he can play well and be a leader when this team has to go on the road, when things are going to get hardest in the very tough Eastern Conference here in the Western Hockey League. So no doubt the Maple Leafs have kept an eye on him all year. We talked to the head coach, Lauren Mullican, yesterday and said, hey, they've been here, they've been talking to him, they've been in contact with him, so it's not like they've kind of left him out in the wilderness. I think they just want to see more from him and how he continues to respond coming off the injury.
In conversation with Sam Cosentino, he'll be part of the crew calling Kootenay and Saskatoon this evening on Sportsnet 1 Friday Night Hockey. The road to the Memorial Cup continues. Sam, as we sit here today and we look forward towards the end of this season, who do you think is the favorite right now to take everything junior hockey-wise in this country?
Ooh, the St. John Sea Dogs are going to be they're going to be tough. They're going to be really tough to beat. I think they've got everyone finally back in their lineup. They got Charlie Coyle after Christmas from the U.S. World Junior Team. Jonathan Huberdeau is 100% healed and is playing probably the best hockey of anyone in the Canadian Hockey League. Once it gets to their 5-6-D, there is a little bit of a drop-off there, but, this is a hockey club that their forward should have the puck most of the time, so there's not necessarily a concern. They got a big Matthew Corbet, a 6'5 Columbus draft pick and goal. Right now, I think they're poised, but, they're going to have to fight through, with Shawinigan being the host, they're going to have to fight through a QMJHL title. Looking out west, the Portland Winterhawks playing really good hockey right now. Tons of talent, I think 10 or 11 guys that have been drafted on that team, and they got Derek Pouliot, who will go in the first round as a defenseman in the upcoming NHL draft. They're looking pretty good, but this Eastern Conference has teams like Edmonton and Calgary that are playing really well right now. And then moving to Ontario, I think my two favorites out there have to be Plymouth and Niagara. But if you ask me to pick one team out of the 59 right now, I think St. John is at the top of that list.
Was it because last week on Friday Night Hockey, they handled Quebec so well, 4-1 final in front of, 6,500 in St. John? I mean, it just seems like this team's almost on that pro caliber versus everyone else in the queue.
Yeah, Tim, and it was a 4-1 win, and I think St. John really had the opportunity to really drop the hammer and put the pedal to the metal and maybe make that a 7 or 8-1 game. But Louis Domingue came in relief for the young guy for Quebec, Francois Brassard. He kind of held down the fort. But there were times in that game when I looked at St. John and I said, oh my goodness, here's a third line of all three drafted players, including Stan Galiev, who's a high-end prospect for the Washington Capitals, and thinking to myself, it looks at times that they can impose their will whenever they want. I think that the only kind of thing maybe stopping them or might be limiting them is the coaching staff is going to have to do a really good job continuing to motivate these guys right through to the end of the season and right through to the playoffs, because they're that good that at times I feel like maybe they can get bored because they have the puck all the time.
Sam Constantino, he'll be on the crew tonight, Friday Night Hockey in Saskatoon. The Blades taking on Kootenay. You can see it on Sportsnet 1. Sammy, as always, brother, thank you for the time.
It's a true pleasure. I love the music. I love the show, and hope to be back on soon.
Enjoy the tune, buddy.
Take care, guys.
There is Sam Constantino live from Saskatoon as they get set for Friday Night Hockey on the TV side of things here on Sportsnet. Back by popular demand.
Here we go.
Somewhat altered, our countdown to kickoff.
Tick down to tip off. I just made that up.
I like it.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
All right, let's use it.
Tick down to tip off at the NBA All-Star Game. Next on Tim and Sid, Sportsnet 590.